Well, for some of you this morning, you're going to be receiving Jesus in the Eucharist for the first time. And what I always marvel at is the way in which God has called us to such a close relationship. And when I always think about the Eucharist, that Jesus would want to be that close to us as to become one flesh with us. You know, that what these children are doing for the first time is something that we all do many, many, many times, but do we remember, do we think about, do we realize and consider what it means every time we receive the Eucharist? And I would say that it's certainly very clear from its celebration. Okay, first communicants always look like they're dressed to go to a wedding. And it's very clear from that what's happening is we're being invited into this relationship with God that's the two become one flesh. Not like a marriage exactly, but in many ways. That we are his and that he is ours. It's not a relationship of equals in the way that marriage is, but it is a belonging. And God gives us his name so that we can call on him because he belongs to us. He says, I will be your God, and you will be my people. And that is what you say yes to every time you receive the Eucharist. So just think about, is anyone in here married? Okay, a few. And yesterday, the Gardeners celebrated a wedding anniversary. Does anyone want to guess how many years? You won't get it. It's 73 years. Jim, I want to thank you for your witness. Yeah, you can clap for that. I want to thank you for your witness to all of us about the sacrament of marriage, but also your witness to being an icon and a symbol of the kind of love that God has for us, that it's permanent, that there is this steadfast covenant love that God has for his people. It has its own word in Hebrew. It's called hesed. It means covenant love. It means steadfast love. It's unconditional, and it's firm and constant throughout the generations and throughout the ages. It doesn't waver. It doesn't draw back. It's just there. And we, in the Bible, God is the groom and Israel is the bride. We are not always as faithful as God is. And we wander away. We see Peter. Peter had wandered away from Jesus. He had denied knowing Jesus. Like he said, I don't even know who that is. And Jesus still calls him back. He reconciles him, brings him back in. He's still leading the church because our sins are not a problem once we give them to Jesus, once we give ourselves to him. They're no longer a problem because they're not a problem for him. They're just, our sins are only a problem when they're in our hands and when we won't let go of them. But once we do, no problem. And that Jesus welcomes Peter back into relationship. Okay, he welcomes him back in because he's always faithful. And the way that you've shown that for 73 years and the way that many of you live that, you know the reality of marriage, and that is that you always talk to your spouse about major decisions before you make them, right? Always. Okay, good, yeah. a couple of sarcastic. Sure. You share in each other's joys and in each other's sorrows and in each other's trials. And hopefully, there is one mission. Like you have a common mission. And you're of one heart and one mind all the time, right? And it's not even hard. Well, no, of course it's hard. But that you're of one heart and mind is obviously part of the goal. And there's that mutual submission to one another in love. What about that? Submit yourselves one to another. Ooh, whoa. Put myself under the mission? That's what submission means, by the way. It means put yourself under that person's mission. Whenever I talk about this, and you've heard me say this many times, the classic example in my family growing up with my parents was vacation, mom put herself under dad's mission. And he was quite a taskmaster. We're going here, and we're going here, and we're going here, and I'm like, oh my gosh, okay, dad's in charge. It's vacation. He's in vacation mode. He's calling the shots. any holiday, mom is in charge. Okay, and you will put yourself under her mission or else. Because my dad's going to be like, excuse me, your mom needs help. What are you doing here? It is like, yes, reporting for duty, mom. And that's, what is that? Well, you know, you might say, well, that's a good, that's an efficient division of labor. But it's also like, what does it mean that we, you know, put ourselves under the mission of the Holy Spirit? That the mission of Jesus, that his Holy Spirit dwelling within us prompts us onward to do. What is that? How is it that we are actually of one heart and mind with God, our Creator, the one who has redeemed us and called us back into relationship? Are we really living like we're under his mission? When we receive the Eucharist, what we're saying is, yes, I believe, you know, the body of Christ. So I'm going to say the body of Christ, and what are you going to say? That's right. And you're saying not just that you believe that that's Jesus, but it's like Jesus is saying, I want to be so close to you as to belong to you, and I want you to belong to me. And you're saying, yeah, me too, and I want that with you. That's a profound statement. So for those of you going to receive Jesus for the first time, I want you to think about that. Also, to remind you that Jesus, what does he compare himself to in the Eucharist? He says, I am the bread of life. Yep, I'm the bread of life. And when he says that, what does it mean? Well, it's spiritual food. So do we want to say, well, if somebody says, hey, have you received the Eucharist? You don't want to say, oh, yeah, I made my, do you receive the Eucharist? Oh, I made my first communion 20 years ago. But not since then. That would be like saying, are you hungry? And someone says, no, I ate 20 years ago. I'm good. You'll die. You will starve to death and die, just like our souls do when we don't receive Jesus. And one of the most important ways we receive him is in the Eucharist. And he said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. Okay? And so he wants us to, food is something that you need regularly. Why does Jesus compare himself to spiritual food? Because if we don't go to him regularly, our souls will starve and die. He can always bring them back to life, but we'll be dead at least then. He says, abide in me. Abide in me, which means like stay with me, remain with me. Don't go wandering off, but stay with me. And when we receive Jesus in the Eucharist, when we talk to Jesus, when we're reading scripture, we're abiding with him. Especially, he says, when you obey my commandments, right? Which we need him, we need to be relying on his grace to do that. We can't make ourselves holy by trying harder. Did you know that? What makes us holy is the Holy One. Or should I say, who makes us holy is the Holy One. And that's why the Eucharist is so important, because I'm not the source of that. Right now, in the back, there's bread and wine. That's going to come up in a few minutes. And what's that going to turn into? Body and blood of Jesus. Right? How's that going to happen, Gerard?
I think he's up for it. I just can't hear him. Yeah, I'm going to bless it. And what's the big deal about a blessing? But is it my blessing that makes it the body and blood of Jesus? No. He's like, no. He's like, I already know it's not you, Father Dan. You can't do that. What is it that makes it? How could that possibly become the body of Christ? God. Yeah. What is it when God says, let there be light, what happens? And when Jesus says to a leper, be healed, what happens? He's healed. And when Jesus says, this is my body, what is it? It's his body. It's the words of Jesus. It's the word of God that has that power. You'll hear my voice, but it's not my word. That's what I love. Gerard's like, it's not you, Father. It's not you. No, it's Jesus. And this is what he says. He says these words, they have power. And then he says, do this in memory of me. Why does he want us to keep doing this in memory of him? His one sacrifice offered once for all is something that we continually receive grace from. And he calls us into communion to abide with him, to abide with him in the Eucharist. And when we do that, when we're really going to Jesus, like, Jesus, you are the spiritual food that nourishes me. We are
able to stay close to him. And then he invites us to do this. Okay, so he says to Peter, Peter, do you love me? And he asks him three times, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Because Peter three times said, I don't even know who Jesus is. Who is this guy? And he says, you know that I love you. And he says, tend my sheep. He asks him again. And he says, feed my lambs. And what is he saying for us to do? To take care for those of you who have a shepherding role, especially parents, grandparents, godparents, older siblings. You have a shepherding role for how you tend the sheep and feed the lambs. The role that you have to bring your children to the Eucharist. To talk to them about, okay, well, this is what we heard at Mass in the readings. Did you understand that? Let me help you understand that. Nothing helps you to learn things better than when you have to teach your kids. Or when I have to teach your kids. That helps me learn it too. You have to feed them. You have to tend them. Shepherds do basically two things. I don't know that much about shepherding, but I know they protect the sheep from the wolves, lead them into the sheep pen at night, and then they help them to find food. They lead them out and find good pasture during the day so that they can feed on good food. And we're talking about spiritual food here. That is your role as parents. That is our role as disciples of Jesus, because they're, whoever you are, there are people looking up to you. People following you, are you tending them? Are you feeding them? When you go to Mass faithfully on Sunday and pray as a family and talk about, oh, this is what came up in the homily. What did you think about what Father Dan said about this? What did you think about what Deacon Randy said about that? Deacon Dan said this. I don't know. Here we go. Now we're talking about it. What about the readings? This is really, really important. This is a commandment that God has given and a sacred trust that he's given to each one of us in different ways. And your role absolutely matters. The sheep need to be fed. They need to be tended. This thing that Jesus invites Peter to in a special way, because he's like the first pope, he's got a specific role, but he invites each one of us in different ways to do the same thing. That the sheep wouldn't starve because they haven't been spiritually nourished. No one has helped them to understand God's word. They won't starve because they haven't been to confession or to the Eucharist, so they're not really abiding with Christ. But in doing those things, they will. And you know what? So will we as shepherds. All the more so for the fact that we have to hand this on and teach this and show the next generation. That's what tradition means. A lot of people forget what tradition means. It means to hand on, to hand over. Here's what Jesus gave me. Here's who he is. I also want you to know him. I want you to know his love for you. I want you to experience and live out through your life this covenant steadfast relationship, the steadfast love that God has for you, to also respond to him with your love as well.